Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. So what we'll do is we'll take a look today at what Jesus told to the church at Ephesus. We're looking at Revelation chapter 2, and we'll read perhaps the whole 7 or 8 verses that it's contained in when Jesus addresses the first of the 7 churches that he addresses in Revelation 2 and 3. We're going to read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, that is the pastor, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. That's verse 1 of Revelation. So in the first chapter, the Bible tells us that the 7 stars mentioned here are the angels of the 7 churches. Many believe that to be the pastors of the 7 churches. And then the 7 candlesticks are the 7 churches. So in short, he's addressing the 7 churches of Asia, and this absolutely directly applies to us in this late hour as we look for the Lord's return. Let's read verse 2. It says, I know thy works and thy labor. So they were hard working, apparently, for the Lord. And thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. There's several things he mentions here that are positive or good about the church at Ephesus here, the body of Christ. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So they were very hardworking, and they were patient, and they were very discerning, and they cut off and marked and exposed false prophets, in particular false apostles here. We got many of those around us today parading themselves as apostles. They are self-appointed and not God-appointed. If they were God-appointed, they would be humbly serving the Lord and his people and not using titles to try to elevate themselves. Jesus is talking about all the good things concerning the believers at Ephesus. And then in verse 3 says, and has borne. So they had been able to do the work of the Lord, to discern false apostles, and has borne, verse 3, and has patience. He says that again. And for my name's sake, Jesus says, hast labored and has not fainted. They were tireless in their labor for the Lord and able to discern false leaders. And then he says in verse 4, nevertheless. Now here he compliments them. When you're going to correct somebody, if God is using you to, first we need to correct our own lives. But if God is going to use you to correct somebody, this is the pattern that Jesus used. He told them all the good things that they were doing in the Lord. And yet now he says, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. We see the same pattern today. Remember, there's no new thing under the sun. We see believers today that are able to discern false teachers. They're working hard for the Lord, but they do not teach the love of God. Jesus commanded that you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbors yourself. See, it's imbalanced to only be laboring for the Lord and pointing out that which is false, but never in endearing people with the volumes and the mountains of scripture concerning learning to love the Lord with our whole heart. And on that note, many times the things that we come up against in the professing body of Christ is mere men trying to get us to get our attention on what they are saying instead of what Christ is saying. They're trying to get our allegiance on them instead of Jesus. Jesus is not correcting them. He's complimenting them for their hard work in the gospel, number one, and number two, for discerning and marking and removing false prophets. And yet in all of their labor for the Lord, they had forgotten the Lord. He was no longer the burning, passionate. They no longer burn with passion and love for Christ. And therefore, he's calling them to repent. So Jesus tells them in verse 5, it says, remember, therefore, from whence or from where you have fallen. Remember the first days when Jesus saved you and how you loved him so much. You remember when Jesus first saved us and all we wanted to do is love him, read his word, and evangelize other people? Remember that? So in verse 5, remember therefore, Jesus says, from whence or where thou hast fallen, they had fallen away, and repent and do the first works. So he doesn't say, stop discerning, stop working and laboring for me. He just says, repent and do those first works. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence or where thou hast fallen. Then he says, and repent and do the first works. What Jesus is saying here is that when you repent, now when Jesus says you have to repent, that means you are out of his will and you're not ready to meet him. You are not ready to meet him. And so he says, when you repent, I'm going to be your first love because you're turning away from your own self and all your own will and stuff and sin, and you're turning back to me, and I'm going to fill you as your first love, and I'm going to empower those good works with me reigning as first love on the throne of your heart. It's ultra important in the divine economy we learn through the Word of God that Jesus Christ be the very first passionate love of our lives. No one else but Him. So if all we have is a bunch of religious activity, including doing the right thing by laboring for the Lord and discerning false leaders, and we don't love God, all we have is dead religion. So Jesus says that they had to repent. They had to turn back to him and begin to love him again with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and also to continue to doing the things that he was complimenting them for doing, which is, in short, pointing out and exposing and getting rid of false leaders and laboring in the Great Commission for the Lord. We are said to be, in a biblical illustration, we're the bride of Christ, right? Just picture a wife cleaning the home, cooking good food for her husband, but she never caresses his head and tells him how handsome he is. She never kisses him. She doesn't rub his back to affirm him. Well, how do you think that's going to make that husband feel? Remember, the Lord said that those that are known of him are the ones who love him. That's what the Bible says. God is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. We know that God says those that are known of him. You know, it's one thing to say, I know God and I'm saved. That's just words. That doesn't necessarily mean it's true. God says, if you love me, you are known of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us, if you love me, you're known of me. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are the bride, and there can be no relationship if there's not love coming from both parties. Love has to be coming from both parties, or it's not a relationship. So only those who choose to love God supremely as the first love of their lives will be with him eternally. He only calls them his own. So this is an illustration, the Ephesian body of Christ. This is an illustration of how we can be doing a lot of things correctly and yet not loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and therefore be out of his will and in need of repentance before it's too late. We're learning some things here, and the number one thing he is impressing upon us here is the premium that the Lord places on a relationship with him, loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord is teaching us here how important it is that we have a relationship with him, not just because we say it or because he saved us in the past, but where is our love for him today? Does anybody remember the beautiful song? It's real simple. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Will my soul rejoice? Take joy, my King, in what you hear. That is a beautiful love song to the Lord. How many people know Jesus is going to delight in us singing love songs to him? So I must ask myself today, do I really love Jesus, or am I just carrying out some kind of a religious game? Am I just having a dead religious operation here, or do I really love Jesus with all of my heart? One dear sister talks about how she constantly asks the Lord, Lord, am I one of your sheep? Am I known of you? Do you know me, Lord? So if I go to hell or you go to hell, it's going to be for one reason, because we refused to repent and obey God by loving him as the supreme priority of our lives, the first love. So Jesus's letter to the Ephesian church clearly proves that we can be doing all kinds of things correctly and still not be in his will and not be ready to meet him. Jesus says we have to repent. We have to repent of our sin of loving ourselves more than we love him and return to him. Verse 5, Jesus uses the word repent 2 times, and he makes it clear that if we don't repent and love him with everything that's in us, that we're going to be removed from his eternal kingdom. So Jesus twice says we have to repent and return to him, putting him as the very first love of our lives, or we are not going to be with him eternally. We're going to be removed from his kingdom. And this is, as we come to a close here, and we'll pray in just a minute, this is why we have to follow Jesus in the daily cross life, to X self out of the way, to be led of God and enabled by God as we're willing to be crucified with Christ, so that Christ alone reigns supreme on the throne of our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for finding and saving us. We ask you to convict us and make our hearts super sensitive to your conviction of our sin, of idolatry. And Father, help us to love you with all of our hearts, and show us individually if, in fact, you call us your own. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.